2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Let's start in verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 3. We studied 1 and 2 yesterday. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's an incredible statement. What is the vehicle? What is the basis for the... Let's go to Revelation 12. Or 11, something. Something around 11 or 12 or something like that. Revelation 12, verse 7, huh? I think the dogs have won. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The deception is entire. It's not a little bit, it's entire. And the gospel is hid because of that deception. And it's hid by one thing. And that one thing is self-realization. The attempts at self-realization automatically bring down a steel curtain that blinds you to be able to see anything. And that is always there. The instant you become the subject, the steel curtain comes down and you can't see. Does everybody grok that? This is why Bojo doesn't like this. Do you understand it? You.
Do I understand it?
You understand? Now, I want to show you why this is at simultaneously the worst possible news and the best possible news. Let's go to Genesis 1. Now, wait a minute. We've got to read a little bit more. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Remember that. Now go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, or in English, or if we are translating right from the Hebrew into English, God is now saying, let there be light. Because from the standpoint of the human being, there is only darkness, or a better translation is twilight. The instant the veil is taken away, then God says, let there be light in you, the earthen vessel. Now, God then says, he saw the light and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. That is the dividing point, not only in the history of the universe, but it is the dividing point in the history of your universe. At some point, you must hear the words, and God is saying, let there be light, because he alone is light. It's only light that makes manifest. You don't understand darkness by comprehending it or analyzing it. You understand, you destroy darkness by light, and he alone is the light. Do you see the connection between you as the earthen vessel and the earth? And the earth was without form and void, you, the human race, and God said, let there be light. And God saw the light, the sun, and it was good. It is good. It alone is good. Comprehend? There's a great divide between light and darkness. And what man calls light is a lie. Man calls light that which he can... this particular wavelength that his eyes are designed to see. But his eyes are blinded so he doesn't see the true light. Anybody have any response, any comment? You are created as a vessel to contain light. No, because what he will... Let's go to Matthew 5.
Yeah, the being is not capable.
Yeah, the being wants light, he just wants more darkness than
life. Isaiah what?
Matthew.
Oh, Matthew 5.
Sounds like Isaiah, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. What are you babbling about over there?
Matthew 6, I'm sorry. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil or double, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Again, remember we studied yesterday. Walk in the light of the sparks that you have kindled, and this shall you have of mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. That we have been given the capacity to have these little sparks of light in the darkness that we think are wonderful and great. But they just cause us not to see the true light. Is the magnitude of this hitting you a little bit? Okay, back to Second Corinthians 4. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And I promise you, once you have experienced that light, nothing else matters. And it's not, oh, there's a shaft of bright light when I was dying. That's not what it is. There isn't a shaft. There is only light. And it has, it's omnidirectional. It comes from everywhere.
interesting because of what you said a minute ago, the fact of our perception of light is completely limited to a small spectrum. So the brightest light in that small spectrum is what we think bright light is. I'm sure in depth all the parameters are.
The Talmud says that the light that can be seen, the visible light, is only the garment to hide the true light. Because if we saw the true light, we would die, which is true. Okay. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants. There's nothing else. I mean, there is no possibility of concern for yourself. Once you've seen the light. Because the lie of self-realization disappears. But it's not seen. You never think that you're helping anybody. You never have a plan to help anybody. That's not the issue. You don't plan to be a servant. It's what is. If you try to be somebody's servant, you'll become... It'll last a little while and then you'll get tired. Because what you will be doing is you'll be eating that. That'll be your sustenance and it can't sustain you. Because nobody will appreciate you. You poor little bastards. But this word for servant here is bondservant. You serve at the expense of yourself. I am fulfilled as I fulfill others. What happens to me is not important. No agenda, no timeline, no what ifs, no if onlys. It's not a ministry, it's not an office, it's a what is. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus, your bond servant for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, what we just read, hath now shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, which is the face of Jesus Christ. This the fourth chapter of Galatians and the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. I mean, the first couple years, this is all I had. I didn't have anybody to talk to.
What's the deal with the word face? May lift up his face and find the face of Jesus Christ, open face. There's something really big about the face of God.
Right, you can't see the face of God and live.
What does face mean? I mean, it's not six feet tall with a span of ten inches on his hand. I mean, no, it means the essence, the countenance, the being.
Well, it's not like.
And when you look somebody in the face, there's no hiding, there's no turning, there's a connection. When you see God,
you die.
The bread of the face, the presence.
The bread of the presence. That's what was in the Holy of Holies, the holy place. All right. So what does all this say? The only way we can know this, the only way we can see this is through weakness. Not by success, by our definition, because success by our definition is, by definition, self-realization. So self-realization is the veil that keeps us. So when you try to do something, when you try to accomplish something, I don't care if you say, oh, I'm doing it for the glory of the Lord. That's crap. You're doing it for your own self-realization, and the blinders are on, or the steel gate comes down. And so all you can do is learn how to be a good actor or actress. How to hide, how not to say anything. This is nothing that you can take to yourself. This is nothing that you can learn about. There's only one thing that you can do, and that's to repent into it. Because it's already full in you. The only thing that's keeping it from being fully seen and realized is your self-seeking, self-concern. You and... I mean, self is either you or yours. And you can just go on, you know, for years, just bouncing around in the twilight. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This is why you glory in tribulation. This is why you take pleasure in infirmities. Because it's only in the weakest, emptiest state that this manifestation is seen in you. And it's not weak and meek, or all those other words, humble and empty. You can go on forever. It has nothing to do with the world standards of what those things mean. It has to do with a total and 100% abandonment of yourself, a disowning of all of you. So that you owe no part of you anything. You owe your thoughts, your emotions, your doubts, your fears. You owe nothing to yourself. If the Son has made you free, you're free indeed. And you're not free because you have a bigger prison cell. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Why? How can this happen? It happens only when you owe your... This is going to be hard for me to... I can't hardly explain this because I don't. There's no words for me to explain this. But you have to own everything. I mean, you have to see that no thing about you, no situation that you're in, it's there by the grace of God, and it's exactly what it should be. You own it in Him. So there's never you don't try to change. You don't try to gad about to change yourself or change others. Am I communicating at all? If you have a cold, you own it. If you're in pain, you own it. It doesn't matter what it is. You don't seek to change the state that you're in. You don't. You lose the capacity to think that anything that's going on with you should be different than it is. That any interruption, anything... I wish I had more words. I can't get out what I know. But this is so absolutely foreign to human nature. This is why this thing about complaining and tail bearing and all that other stuff, It's just, it's, and talking about somebody, if they're not, it's just evil. Because it is pure rebellion against this light. In darkness, you always have to seek allies. Is anybody listening? Is anybody hearing me? Nobody has any response.
Well, right now I'm thinking of just the way you're describing that, like you say no to everything, or start saying yes to it.
Well, you don't even say yes or no. It's just it's as natural. It's just what is. It's just there. It's not a thing that you have to say anything to. It's the milieu in which you are. I can't believe I said milieu.
There's a place in what you were saying where you don't think anything's different, but you also don't stifle your response. Because then you would be the judge of whether it was good or evil.
You just be.
Yeah. You just are. If you're an ass, you're an ass. If you're a great person, you're a great person. Whatever you is flowing through you is what is, and then you either repent or whatever you do. But hearing that like takes me to the gate of religion. If I stop and say, well, now I've got to respond differently to stimuli.
There is no possibility of using. One of the greatest scriptures is. It's talking about as using the world, but not abusing it. And if you remember, the word using there means the same way you'd use a hammer. And abuse means give it breath. So, so therefore, by definition, there is nothing that you can perceive or see or sense that is any more important than anything else that you can see or perceive or sense. And so you use the world, but you never give it any breath. And there's never any rating. There's never any ranking. And so, and you know one thing for certain. You know that you cannot use any of this thing because this thing is cursed. And you are the chief of sinners. So you don't, there's nothing about this that you use at all. And so the act of being literally becomes exciting. There's never a thinking about being. There's never a thinking about saying. There's only what is. But I know you all well enough. You spend most of your life thinking. You're trying to use that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. And it ain't going to work. And I know you also well, and I also know you well enough to know that you're not silent up here. There's just going on constantly. What do you do with it? How do you shut up the voices? When you come finally to the totality of the understanding that there is absolutely no worth, no thing there that is of any value whatsoever. Then and you have to go through this process. I mean it sounds crazy, but I bet I repented 100,000 times a day for the first few years I was a believer. Because I was always thinking. Every time I had to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, I had to have every single thought stand against it is finished. Most of this time I was alone.
This takes me back to Genesis, where the thing that we fight the most is without form and void. That's the one thing we don't want to do. And yet it's in that particular place where God's hand moves us.
He shall grow up before us as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. There is no beauty that when you see him, you should desire him. It never changes. It never stops. We want to make him beautiful. We want to make him a champion. We want to make him, well, if he were here today, he would be on television, or if he were here today, he would be driving he wouldn't be driving a Honda. If he were here today, what do you mean if he were here? He is here today.
Let's make him an overcomer.
He doesn't have a deliverance ministry. He doesn't have a healing ministry. He has an I am ministry. If you could just taste the freedom of what that means, you could never be satisfied with anything else. We'll continue in this. I'm out of my rollover minutes. Can you get me some more? Any response to anyone? Am I just babbling again? Bojo just about had a response. What don't you get?
It just doesn't make sense.
Well, what don't you get?
It's not that I don't get what you say. I hear what you say. I believe what you say. I don't get my response to what you say. What's going on here?
What is it?
It doesn't make sense. How is it that I am drawn to that? Why do I want to play in that when I know that if I was there, I'd run like 60. I don't want any part of it. What sense does that make? How is it that...
It's called the trial of faith. The trial of faith, which is more precious. If you know that that's dung, then... stay on him. Well, but there, that's, you got to understand. For 3 years, it's almost 3 years. Anyway, it was from 72. No, 2 years. For 2 years, I was convinced I was going to be the next governor for Jesus. I mean, it's stupid. But
how do you use the world? You talked about using the world. I'm not strong enough to do that. I'm either there or I'm not.
This block is as much as of the world, is just as much as the world is as it is in downtown New York City. As Las Vegas or as in a corporate empire, it doesn't matter where you are. this anything with this that you can perceive with the senses is the world.
Flesh.
It's Babylon. It's the world. Both of them. It doesn't matter where you are.
And you also said, what I see as light is a lie. What man sees as light is a lie.
What man sees as light, and ideas, and great ideas, and great plans, and the little sparks of light, and even the sun, is a lie because it's less than the entire. Well, it's imperative. It's important that this be done publicly. That whatever is going on within you.
I'm just contorted. I can't, nothing that I do or nothing makes sense. It doesn't make sense to me. I just, maybe a lot of this is because of my willingness to stand to it instead of walk away from it, which is something I need to do personally. But when I stand there, I don't like it.
When you stand where?
Just not back down from it. In other words, if there's something that comes at me that I don't like, my typical response is to leave it there and go do something else. And it's always there. And I can't do that. Some of that stuff's got to be pulled out by the roots. I hear that clearly. I know that. And some things I've been able to pull out by the roots. But sometimes the roots I'm tugging on, they just don't come out of the ground. They come out of everything that I thought was real.
But again,
that doesn't make sense.
But we're not supposed to tug at them.
They got to come out.
No. We just stopped giving them any breath. Because they're already dead. The axe has already been laid to the root.
Okay, I hear that. I mean, we're speaking metaphorically. Saying the same thing. It just has to be dealt with is the point.
Well.
Yeah, but not necessarily actively on your part.
No, and I appreciate that, Harry. And I realize that, too. That's why I'm so confounded. I mean,
simply hearing sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No question of that. I appreciate that. You're absolutely right.
Well, I promise you this, and I've told you this several times.
Why is the world all wrong and I'm right in this deal? Why is everything that they're doing, which I know I don't want to be a part of?
What if you're thinking that they're wrong and we're right, then you're wrong.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we live differently. We know more. Is that fair to say? I mean, do we know more?
No.
Then why do we do it this way and they do it that way?
Because
why is their perception?
Why is your toenail hard and your tongue soft? Why is your eyeball see and your ear hear? Because that's where you have been placed and that's where you have been called. And the way you know that is that you have no other options. The only way that I knew about this, I would have done anything other than do this if there would have been one place for me to go.
Yeah, I hear that.
Now, if you have no options, then rest. If you have options, then go do them. But I promise you, unless you articulate these things, you will sneak away in the night. Unless you do what you did this morning. Regularly.
All right.
And I mean, if you want to sneak away in the night, that's your business.
I don't want to hear that. I don't. It just grates me.
Don't want to hear what?
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear what I have to do. Or what...
What grates you?
It's diametrically opposed to every moment that I've breathed for the first, 50 years of my life.
You think what? You think that's strange? You think it's any different for me?
Strange. I said I don't like it.
Again. I can only talk to you about what I have experienced. Other than seeing JW maybe once or twice a year, I was totally alone with knowing this. And yet, there was nothing else I could do. I could no longer, I was in that stupid position where I couldn't do anything to help myself. I couldn't even do anything to feed myself. If God wasn't faithful, I was going to die. I couldn't ask for help. I couldn't do anything. Now, that was the strangest position that is possible for a human being to be in. But it's no less strange than it is for you. Every one of us must experience this horror of great darkness that Abraham experienced until we see that the covenant has already been cut, that the testament has already been completed. I don't want to hear my warfare is over, then what the hell, then I don't have anything to do. I don't want to hear that I'm the chief of sinners, because that means I'm worse than the Antichrist. I don't want to hear that I have to die to myself, because then what the hell am I doing? So it's everybody has to go through this. And all I'm saying to you is, it is far easier to go through it with people who understand what's going on than it is out there alone.
Out there I would never face it. Out there I would never face it.
Well, that's a lie, because God's got a call on you. You would face it every time you tried to go to sleep.
I'll dismiss it. I walk away from it. I've done it 100 times.
No,
it's too late. There.
It's too late.
I know that. That's what I don't like.
It won't work anymore.
I know that. That's exactly why I feel this way.
You remember the thoughts? I can imagine what you went through up in Oklahoma. The thoughts, the process, the ideas, the plans, the options.
Yeah.
And you went through them all. I know you well enough. And there was no there. Well, but all I'm saying to you, John, is that I had to go through exactly the same thing.
And I say to you, and I'm not trying to be, you know, goofy here, but I know you have, and I know other people on this block have, and I know other people on block struggle with it, and I appreciate it. And I could not do it by myself. I know that. I know that. I don't know what I'd do. You know, some people say they'd kill themselves. I would do that. I'm way too proud to do that. But I'd be out there in the middle of it, throwing mud and doing all the crazy crap that I do to make myself happy and successful. I know it. And that makes me really angry with myself. I can't have the integrity to stand up to that and say, just leave it and be. I mean, my life has never been better than it is now. It hasn't. Not even close. I don't care where I lived. I don't care what cars I drove. I don't care where I went on vacation. I don't care about it. My life has never been better, and yet here I am sitting here telling you that I can't stand it when I go out there because I want to get in the middle of it. What lunacy. It drives me crazy.
Good.
It's what drives me crazy about me, too, and my continual, whenever I see a good-looking girl.
It's supposed to be that way. It's called the trial of faith. Now, what I want you to do is say, my God, my God, my God, I thank God for the trial. Now, the trial is different. You know, believe it or not, I'm going to pick on one of the airy guys again. Gary could go, and I'm serious. Gary could walk away from this. He could move away from this block, and he would have the capacity to forget about this.
No.
Yes, he would. But Judy wouldn't.
Hence the term companion antagonist.
Harry would die if he left. Pete would die if he left. I would die if I left. You know, it's got like Wade and Kevin. They're sort of where you are.
jury's still up.
But it doesn't matter. Because what we are individually fades. And what we are in Him as not just one what we see, but one universally. When you get a glimpse of that, my God, you're at the top of the pyramid. You can't get any higher. You're the reason that time and space were created. All the generations of bojos and ho-hos that existed before you had one function, to generate you. For this. And that's true for each one of you. And the way you are is exactly what you should be. But just be what you are. If what you are is what you're going through, be it. But be it openly, commending yourself openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Don't be it silently. Because I promise you, we've been at this for 32 years. Hundreds, thousands of people have heard this. There's always only a few that stay.
There's something fundamental in what John said, in that we think that because we hear and understand this, that our being should be changed. But I'm the same as I always was. You are. John is. And so it really shouldn't be a surprise that walk out of here and get drawn into that miasmos out there.
But the difference in the offices is, in many ways, you're more fortunate because you don't suffer the internal agonies that some others do. But both of you are exactly as you should be.
See, I had to go through all kinds of shit to get to this
because of Judy.
No, because I wanted to do what you do. You know, I thought that's what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to go out and remodel houses. You know, so I had a hell of a 15 years of agony over that thing to finally come to the point where, you know, wherever I am is
right. Yeah, for most of us, we remain in the calling when we're called. I mean, it's. There's no model, there's no thing, there's no right way to do it. And there's no holy place. Every place our foot touches is holy, not because of us, but because of who we contain. There's no saints any more than you are. And that the freedom of this, of seeing, my God, I already own all things. How can that be? I already know all things. I mean, the anointing you receive, you have needed. No man teach you. I can't teach you anything except to let some of you go and make fun of your stupid little ideas. What's your normal comment now? And a damn fine job you do of that. This is as real as it's going to get.
This feels like we're really having Bible studies.
I was seeing where I'm sitting here. If I'm trying to understand what's going on or what you're saying, then that's the Antichrist trying to capture some light for itself. But if I abandon myself and just either be apprehended or not, then that's.
Remember, for 30 years, I've told you, there is absolutely nothing. If you hear me, you're supposed to do something, and you've heard wrong. If I've ever told you what to do, then you've heard wrong. If I've ever given you something you can do, you've heard wrong. or I've said it wrong. There's nothing about what we are that we can do. That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God, because it makes us and puts us in the most incredibly weak state there is.
You know, just saying, it's like you're not telling us, like when you're talking to John and he hears you saying he has to speak and you rouse up inside about it. You're not saying he has to speak. You're saying you've got to be. That's not telling somebody what they have to do. But they have to be or they're not. Part of being is just...
Well, yeah, I know that you're not silent up there.
Yeah.
All I'm telling you is be open about it. It doesn't matter what it is. Otherwise, you have a form of godliness, but deny his ability. You have to help him out. All right, I'm tired of talking. Take a big guy.